Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Megan Green is working behind the scenes to bar me from the chamber, an effort that she has been taking to figure out just how they can keep me out of the chamber.
Yeah, that was my friend Elliot Davis there, formerly of Fox 2, yesterday at the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. He caught my attention, and it seems that situation has been resolved, but I had invited Elliot to join us this morning to talk a little bit more about it. I've got him on the phone. Elliot, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Always good to be back.
My friend, you're working harder now than you did when you were still working.
Someone said I'm the busiest retired person they know. I think of one of the mayor's office people said I'm redefining retirement.
That's a good point. You know, many times over the years, Kim and I and you and anybody who's covered City Hall has been down there to enter through the speaker's office there, the board president's office, and onto the floor of the Board of Aldermen to cover important meetings. And then for a while yesterday, it looked like they were going to try to stop you, right?
Yeah, it really did. Yeah. And like I said, even though there may be a change, I'm going to still wait and see. What happened was I got actually tipped off by an alderman who had information about it and said that the board president in her office was talking about how to bar me from the aldermanic chamber. So I could come in City Hall, but wouldn't be able to come in the chamber. This is the alderman I knew very well, and so we were. She had tipped me off about it and told me about it. So I went to the board the next day. They were having a meeting yesterday to get it confirmed. I got it confirmed through two other sources, people who were in a position to know. Yeah. And they said, yeah, the board president and her office came to them and told them that they wanted to find a way to keep Elliot Davis out of the chamber. Apparently they didn't like a story I did. I guess it was back in February or something. Early February, when the board president had accused one of the aldermen, Joe Vollmer, of being drunk at the board meeting. And so I wanted answers about that. And so as, you know, she was leaving the board meeting, and so I tried to question her, and we walked, you know, down the hall together. And I was, you know, trying to get information, trying to get answers. She didn't want to answer. I guess it was something she wanted to put behind her. So they didn't like me questioning her. So anyway, my understanding was that they were going to try to bar me from the board chamber. And so that's when I did the Facebook Live. And I did the Facebook Live right in front of her.
She
was still at the She was still at, so I wasn't hiding. Oh, I never hide.
Wow. That's gutsy. I appreciate that. So it's not like she had to even, because Mark and I were like, well, I wonder if Megan Green saw the Facebook Live and that was when she decided to go back on it, or if she had other people approach her about it who had seen the video and were giving her a hard time about it, and that's why she changed her mind.
Well, you know, it got like, I don't know, 16 or 17,000 views.
Wow.
And that was just in about, you know, 2-3 hours or something like that. But we did it right in front of her. She was still on the dais. The meeting had just ended. And so I launched as soon as the meeting ended because I wanted, you know, everybody to know what I was saying. And I wanted her to know what I was saying, too. So it was not like I was hiding. I don't,
it's true.
I don't hide. I'm like one of those gunfighters. Let's meet in the middle of the town, you know.
Yeah, I'm your Huckleberry, right? Yeah, that's
high noon.
You know, so, Elliot, Megan had a bit of a rough day yesterday. I mean, she sued the state over this state control of the police, and her best friend, Tashar Jones, is leaving today as mayor. So maybe she was just having a bad day.
Yeah, her people called me. I had a call from her deputy chief of staff. I think that's Christine Ingracia. This is where it really does get interesting. She said, well, Megan saw the Facebook Live and didn't like it. Well, I understand that. I get that. and it said, well, she's not trying to keep you out. I said, okay, but my, you know, source was liable that's what happened. They said, yeah, we're just trying to revamp the rules for media coming into the board. So we're just writing up some new rules and applications, and it's going to be a category for citizen journalists, but we're writing up these rules, the board president's office, writing up these new rules. I said, well, when did the board have these written rules before? She said, well, never, but, you know, that's besides the point. And so I said, oh, okay. And so she said, we're not trying to keep you out. We're going to write up these new rules, and you can apply. I said, okay. Well, who's going to make the decision about the application? She said, the board will. I said, okay. So I'm going to wait to see what happens.
So the board is a whole, not some committee that Megan Green is assigned to it?
Well, no, this would be, I think she said the clerk of the board will decide, obviously, probably with input from Megan's office. But they assured me they're not trying to keep me out, but they are rewriting these rules. So I'm going to wait and see how this all shakes out.
It's always been pretty freewheeling down there. I remember, Elliot, as a reporter, if there was a board meeting going on, I mean, they didn't want you to be disruptive, but you could sit along the wall in there as a reporter and just kind of listen to what was going on. I didn't ever know if there were any rules.
Yeah. No, as long as you didn't do any, and I'm going to get to today's event today, obviously. But as long as, and most reporters, legitimate reporters, are not disruptive.
Right.
I remember back in the old days, you could walk on the board floor and go talk to somebody you wanted. So you can not only come in the chamber, but you could walk over to a board or an alderman's desk that was all the way on the other end and talk to them. Hey, look, I'd like to talk to you after the meeting. Okay, no problem. but I understand why they changed that one, that you can't be on the floor.
They were more worried about you sticking a mic in their face and asking them who paid for it, right?
Probably, something like that.
That's right.
This is interesting. This is going to, you know, and so we're going to see how this is going to work out with them rewriting these rules. But you're right, the new mayor is being sworn in today.
Yeah, will you be there for that?
I, of course, will be there.
I thought so.
You know it. I've been covering this race, and I know you may know that I've done a number of posts about this race, a former race. Now, the race is over now. But I did a number of posts about it and about that Kara Spencer was going to take over as mayor. My position was that I didn't see anything. You know, people might get mad at me. Kara got mad at me. She was very nice yesterday when I talked to her. I talked to her briefly, but, you know. I said basically that I thought that Kara was going to be similar to Tashara Jones. To this extent, they're both are progressives.
Right.
Neither one had really disagreed with, not until Kara was running for mayor, of course. But they agreed on most policy, most of the policies they agreed on. Defund the police came along. Tashara was with defund the police until it became unpopular. Kara was with it. She was with the rest of the progressive board. When the police were getting hammered by Kim Gardner and all that was going on, Kara did not speak up and for law enforcement, just like Tashara Jones didn't speak up. Mm-hmm. I didn't see Kara doing a whole lot for the homeless in the 10 years she was on the board of aldermen, or not speak up a lot for North St. Louis, these issues that people are talking about now. So I'm anxious to see, one, what is she going to do differently from Tashara Jones? What is she going to do for public safety? Is she going to send some kind of tough signal to the bad guys to try to do something about this crime that's really rampant in St. Louis? I don't get that impression. I haven't heard it yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll be surprised.
Well, here's the good news. The restoration projects that have been going on for months where no work's actually been done in front of City Hall and some of the other parks, Elliot, they're finally done. The gates have come down.
Yep.
But that was done by Tashara's.
Right.
Yeah, Tashara's people did that.
Because of the homeless.
The gates are down. They had the window washers out there yesterday cleaning the windows that hadn't apparently been done in some time. Not that we really cared whether yeah. they washed the windows or not. But we are anxious, like I said, to see, is there going to be something different? Now, Kara, when I did that post, Kara was not too happy with me. She sent a long response that I absolutely posted. I posted that response because she was reading me the riot act. She called and read me the riot. And I said, hey, send me a response and I'll post it. So even though she said I was no good, I posted that part of it too. So I've been called worse.
You're keeping them on their toes, Elliot. I love it, man. Thanks for giving us some time this morning. Where can people follow you besides Facebook? Is it mainly your Facebook page?
Yeah, mainly the Facebook page. And if they call me and they have an issue, I'll give them my phone number and they can call me. I'm not just generically putting out the phone number.
Yeah.
Most people probably already have it. But if they – I have an email, but that's Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T-T, 321Davis@gmail.com.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate it, buddy.
You bet. Elliot Davis there, citizen journalist. Taking them on down at City Hall. I love it. I love it. All right, coming up, it is tax day. And guess what's about to expire? Your tax cuts. When is that going to get fixed? We are going to talk to the folks from the Taxpayers Protection Alliance.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's coming up. Well, today is tax day, as you've picked up from the music. Carl's done a great job of this morning. And if you've got to put your money in the mail today, you have until, I guess, midnight to get it postmarked, right? Get it to the post office. We've also got some other tax issues to talk about. We've got David McGarry with us this morning, Research Director at Taxpayer Protection Alliance, TPA, protectingtaxpayers.org. I believe is the website, and it's good to have you on, David. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be here. Happy Tax Day to those who celebrate.
Lots of people celebrating.
Oh boy, yeah. Who's celebrating? If you had to pay, for sure. So let's talk about, I guess, this reconciliation bill is what we're all waiting on, right? To make sure that these tax cuts are renewed, because if not, we're all facing a pretty steep tax hike here at some point, right?
Well, I think the problem that you always have when you're an elected official is that you want to lower taxes on people and then spend a whole lot of money on them as well. And that is exactly what Congress is facing at the moment. The Republicans are trying their absolute best to extend the provisions of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. But as you referenced, through the reconciliation process, they have to make sure that they also pass the requisite spending cuts to offset the new tax cuts. And even for those of us in D.C., I will say it is somewhat of a black box exactly what's going on in Congress at any given moment. They're negotiating the terms of this deal. There's different ideas floating around the House and the Senate, and everything seems perpetually up in the air.
Yeah, and up in the air, and the bigger question is, how much gets cut? Because there was a pretty dramatic difference between what the Senate offered to cut and what the House wanted to cut. Probably maybe in the trillions difference, right?
Yeah, certainly. As we've seen over the past few years, the Senate tends to be less fiscally responsible than the House. And we saw this, as you referenced again, a difference of about $3 trillion, I believe, between the Senate budget proposal and the House's budget proposal. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to get on the same page. The TCJA, the Trump tax cuts from his first administration, are going to expire by the end of the year. And if they're not renewed, the average American is going to see a pretty hefty tax increase.
Yeah. And what is that percentage? Because, like, for example, the corporate rate dropped from what, 35 to 21 under that act? Is that right?
Yeah. So the corporate rate dropped precipitously, and that was actually a huge boon for American businesses. And besides American businesses, it was of great benefit to American workers, because businesses were investing in more capital, they were expanding their operations, they were hiring more employees. All of these things redounded through the economy to the benefit of Americans generally, and also the country. If on the individual side, obviously there were several brackets for which rates were changed by the TCJA. So right. I won't sort of run through them, but the majority of Americans would see a tax increase on their personal taxes if the law is not renewed.
Right. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I was going to say, it's this idea that the trickle-down effect, right? If you help these larger corporations, then you're able to have them hire more people and do other things to benefit the worker, right?
So I do generally agree with that, but I think it doesn't quite go far enough, because cutting the corporate tax rate doesn't just benefit the big guys, it also benefits the little guys. And if
right.
anything, it benefits the mom and pop shops and the startups that are being run out of basements even more, because the big guys have a lot of money. To a certain extent, they can absorb the consequences of bad tax policy. If you're running a small business on tight margins, you likely don't have either the money to pay, the extra money to pay higher taxes, or the money to hire a fancy accountant to make sure that you're doing everything right.
Yeah, it's very true. David McGarry, listen, appreciate your time. Taxpayers Protection Alliance, that is what? Protectingtaxpayers.org is the website. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely, yeah. Hey, we're going to get Wiggins in here in a minute. I want to pick his brain a little more. I heard him talking about this issue yesterday. Because we always talk about people getting hurt, obviously, in the market. If you have a 401k and in it you have mutual funds, you have, obviously, a stake in what's going on in the market.
What percentage of people, do you know the answer to this? What percentage of people don't? What percentage of people aren't in the market? And what percentage of people don't even own anything in the United States? I think the numbers will surprise you a bit. We'll talk to Ryan Wiggins of Wiggins America coming up after the break.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Yeah, Ryan Wiggins in studio with us this morning. And Ryan, how are you on this tax day? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Good.
How are you?
I've got to drive over to the post office when I leave here and mail off some tax money.
Really?
Yeah, for my mom, not for me, but for my mom, I gotta mail it off. Got to get it in the mail today.
Post I got a note from my accountant that said, "Make sure you you pay what you owe on by tomorrow." This was yesterday, and I was like, "Wait a minute! I thought I was getting refunds from Missouri, Illinois, and federal." And I looked, and I was, and I emailed her back and said, "What the heck are you talking about?" She's like, "Oh, that was just a general email I sent to everybody."
Oh, for her fee?
Yeah. Yeah. What's funny is if you owe the government, you're expected to pay right away, you know, by the 15th. But then if they owe you, it's like, yeah, I don't know, like 6 weeks. Don't you just
Yeah, but you can
be
file
patient.
In
you can file
January
February,
31st.
Right, but I'm just saying, the government takes its sweet old time, you know, giving
and
you
also,
your check.
And also, you have to find out what you owe them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's what's
please.
Amazing.
Yeah, please.
Is that you have to go through the whole process, pay for the process if you do so.
They don't send you a bill.
Figure out, I think this is pretty much what I owe you. And the IRS says, well, if you're wrong, we're going to come after you.
We'll
yeah, if you're
you.
Wrong, we might take you to jail.
Yeah.
Just be sure you get it right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully no one has had to endure an audit, but I'm sure. I don't know if it'll happen more or less this year. I mean, I know they're reducing the number of people at the IRS. Maybe once Billy Long officially gets confirmed, he can go in there and make some changes to that organization.
I'm glad to hear that's sure. still happening. I keep looking to see if he's on the dock. He's got to be close, right?
I think the Democrats are kind of slow walking it a little bit.
Well, they're slow walking everybody.
They are.
Well, you know what we need to do? The minute he gets in there, hire 81,000 new IRS agents.
Oh, that's a great idea, Ryan.
To make sure that we all are paying what, you know, because we don't know what we're paying. We just are guessing.
No.
We need 81,000 more agents to let us know.
You ought to be able to sign on and just have them do it for free. Weren't they talking about that too at some point?
The 81,000 people were going to work for
free? No. Weren't they going to offer you some free tax service, I guess, if you some reform filing an easy form or something like that? It's something they floated during the Biden administration. I don't think they ever got around to
it. Yeah, that's the other crazy part. I'm sorry. Let me just say something about that. We're paying the government because we owe them tax money. Okay, whatever. Yeah. We're also paying for the service, which I understand these are separate companies that need money too. Like, I understand it, but it's kind of ridiculous the way that it works, where it's like you're paying to file. The whole thing makes me want to pull my hair out.
Hey, you're married to a CPA. Careful there.
I know. And you know what? He does our taxes. I had nothing to do with this
year. Yep. I
That's
know.
Nice.
It's fantastic.
I always like looking at Tax Freedom Day, which I believe is usually in June sometime, isn't it? That you've earned enough at that point to have paid all of your taxes. You're working for yourself at some point.
I remember my dad saying that when I was young. He'd say, okay, and it was right around April or May or whatever. He'd say, okay, now I'm actually working to make money.
Yeah,
man. And I'm like, that really stuck with me when I was a kid. I'm like, dang, that's terrible.
Well, so many people, though, you know, we talk about these tariffs. We talk about the market being up and down. We talk about how it's affecting mortgage rates and who's buying houses and who isn't. You had some numbers the other day that surprised me just on the number of people who aren't affected by those things, right?
Yeah, Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, came out and said this, and I thought that is so important because that really is, you know, unfortunately, the politics are at play in here. And you talk about the anti-oligarchy tour trying to help the little guy. And yeah. I really, honestly, I mean, I haven't watched their speeches, but I don't know what their specific policies are. I just know that they're socialist in general and that that's the driving force behind what the AOCs, the Bernie Sanders are saying is that socialism, bigger government, is there to help the little guy. Well, here's what the Trump philosophy is, according to Scott Bessent. And he's looking at this. And when these people talk, you're like, that guy's smart. I don't know everything he's saying, but he knows what he's talking
about.
Sounds
good.
Yeah. And he said in an interview recently, I think this was within the last week, and it really was amazing, that 8% of the entire U.S. population owns 88% of the stock market.
Wow.
So you're talking about the rich of the rich. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the 1%, but it's the 8%. Then you have 42% that owns 42% that owns 12% of the market. So the rest of the market, that's 88% plus 12% is the whole market. That's owned by 50% of the people. And most of us probably here are within that 42%.
Sure, if you own an IRA or a 401k, 403b, chances are you own a mutual fund and therefore you're in the market.
Yeah, either right. You own a couple individual stocks or probably you have a mutual fund or 401k or whatever. So you're within the 12%. But here is who they're really trying to help, because he said these people have been absolutely hammered by not just the last 4 years of inflation, although that's very true too, but the last 40 years of offshoring every company in the world out of the United States, is that 50% of the population, the bottom 50%, owns 0% of the market and really doesn't own anything. They're just in debt. They rent their house. They're probably borrowing to get their car. Maybe they own their car. But when you offset...
credit card debt.
Yeah, debt on everything. And so when you offset everything that they might own against the debt, they really don't own anything. They're just in debt.
Net worth of negative something.
Net worth of negative. No assets. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they're definitely not in the market. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about the stock market, it's not affecting 50% of the population. It's sort of affecting 42% of the population, depending on how much it moves. But really, you're talking about the 8% of America that, if the market drops that much, you're talking about the billionaires, the wealthy, super uber wealthy class that's really being affected by this the most. And so when you think about it that way, it's really important to figure out who in this economy has benefited from really, really cheap, almost slave labor for the last 40 years. And why changing that is going to change the way America operates at all.
Are you talking about Temu? Because
I'm indirectly talking about Temu.
I know someone who likes Temu. I'm not going to name names. I'm just saying.
Are they in this
my
room?
Wife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say
my
it.
Wife
Mark
just
did.
Got a box the other day, and she goes, "Phew, I just beat the tariffs." She was so happy. It got delivered the other day. We've set up a little bit of a fairy garden in the backyard for our grandkids, and she ordered some more stuff from.
She probably ordered it like Thanksgiving. It takes that long to ship.
It takes a while to get over here on a slow boat. To your point, and I think it's a good one. How do you start to affect that? If you really want to help the people who are in that lower 50%, you have to help them get better jobs. And how do they do? Those jobs are out there. We just have a piss poor education system that doesn't expose people to the trades anymore. I mean, there are jobs out there. I have a friend who happens to own a manufacturing business, and he needs people with basic machinery skills, basic machining skills, and he can't find them. And the reason he's panicking a little bit is that his workforce is getting older, and he's not getting kids out of these trade schools that he can put to work in those jobs. And those are almost six-figure a year jobs with overtime and all that stuff that we're not preparing kids for. It's either your college education material, your college material, or you're not. And if you go to college, you're going to come out with $100,000 in debt because it's outrageously expensive. Those are the kinds of simple steps they could take to try to fix this, in addition to bringing those jobs back.
The other thing is that those jobs are becoming the high-paying jobs.
Right.
Because of the demand, but also the demand's going to go up. So, man, if you're below our age, if you're below 40, that is the industry to be going into right now, because the demand is going to be outrageous. You're talking about six-figure incomes easy for trades. You're already pretty close in a lot of trades to being there, depending on whether you own your own business or you're working for somebody. But you're getting paid well in the trades right now.
And I'm sure Corey Malone and all the folks in the HVAC business would say the same thing. They're constantly trying to hire people who are skilled, who can do those jobs. And you're not getting that education in college. You're learning it at a trade school or an apprenticeship somewhere. And you've got to get the hands-on, and then you're ahead of the game.
One final point on this is the Trump administration knows this too, because they have been talking about, look, we already have a labor shortage in these industries, let alone what we're bringing in is going to make it worse. So they're actually focusing on, Howard Lutnick was saying, we've got to focus on bringing people into the trades, and one of the ways that they're doing it is they're starting to defund the regular universities.
Yes.
And they're probably, I mean, they haven't said this for sure, but they look like they're probably going to be moving money more toward trade schools. Here's the thing. That's your tax money. Why are we supporting all these universities anyway? It's just indoctrination at this point.
Up next, Harvard is about to FAFO, aren't they?
Yes.
It's like Harvard. It's going to go on at Harvard. Can you hang out for a minute?
Yeah.
All right. That's Ryan Wiggins. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Donald Trump is a criminal who was found guilty of 34 felonies.
felony counts of fraud.
Shoot me now.
Liable for sexual abuse. Of course he's lying and abusing and manipulating the stock market too. When he talks about rapists and criminals, he should look in the mirror.
So, did Alexa from the hood adopt a Valley Girl accent there? Did you hear that?
Like, do all the Democrats get together and say, hey, this week we're going to change our accent because we're being told that that's really going over well with our voters?
Yeah, that was AOC at one of her rallies she's holding with communist Sanders around the country trying to get people whipped up. So, again, they just don't get it. For 4 years, they beat the drums about Donald Trump. They tried to convict him. They impeached him. They did everything but burn him at the stake. They tried to shoot him in the head. None of it worked. And they got their butts handed to him last November. And they're still on the campaign trail trying to whip up these ignorant supporters of theirs to believe that Donald Trump is the problem as opposed to years of fraud, attacks, and abuse of our system. I say, like John Kennedy said, we're calling it the let them speak tour. Just let them go, and everybody's going to see them for what they are.
Yeah, I hope that they become, they kind of have become the face of the Democrat Party right now, and they want to be that. That's why they're doing this tour. They're getting crowds for sure. I have seen people tracking phones and say that this is actually some of the, it's like a Deadhead concert.
Yeah.
Where they're just the same people going over and over.
Yeah.
There's like 80% of the people had been to 9 other events in the last 12 months.
Oh my gosh.
But beside the point, those are still big crowds. But Brian Kilmeade tweeted out something yesterday I thought was really smart. He said, look, if you're a Republican, you really don't need to worry about the anti-oligarchy tour. Their crowds are impressive, no doubt. But that's not who you need to worry about next November. It's, you need to worry about John Fetterman. You need to worry about Gretchen Whitmer going into the White House and trying to be bipartisan. Those are the people who might actually make waves.
Who are, and Shapiro, some of these other people that are popping up. Cory Booker, who's suddenly acting like he's a statesman. Listen to Bernie Sanders at the Coachella Music Festival when they brought him out. Listen to him.
What happens to America is dependent upon your generation. Now, you can turn away and you can ignore what goes on, but if you do that, you do it at your own peril. We need you to stand up to fight for justice.
So yesterday, and I know Tyrus comes on the Andy Fry Show sometimes, he said on The Five that Bernie Sanders took a speaking fee to speak at that event. I don't know if that's true or not. But his point was well taken, that the people that paid $1,100 or $1,200 to go to Coachella are not the victims that Bernie Sanders is looking for.
It's not a battle for Gen Z. It's common sense versus BS. And that's BS. Bernie Sanders goes out there and tells a bunch of people who can afford to be there how bad their lives are. But every one of them can afford $20 lemonades, $30 cheeseburgers, and continue to cheer and have, that's a rough life.
That's a rough life.
That's
if
great.
You're at Coachella, you need to listen to the resident socialist who's going to complain about how bad things are in America. You're drunk at a music festival.
Yeah.
It cost $1,100 if you're in the first, you know, few sections. You paid over $1,000 to be there. And these are the people that they're targeting.
You know, I think that Coachella should invite other senators. Too. Like next year, Josh Hawley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sure. That's the year after that, Eric Schmidt. And then you can go back to the Democrats. Just give us a couple.
I had to play that because I thought that was pretty rich, that's the audience that he's now targeting. All right. Good luck with the tax day today. Ryan, remind people where they can listen to Wiggins America, please.
Wiggins America, 7 to 8 Saturday mornings and 7 to 8 Sunday evenings, although I'm hosting the Andy Fry Show today, too.
Oh, that's true. Right. You can listen to Ryan here noon to 3 today, filling in for Annie. Brian Kilmeade will be up next. He'll have the latest goings on up in Washington, D.C. Remember, a new mayor gets sworn in St. Louis today. We'll have some coverage of that for you for tomorrow morning for sure. And have a great day. We'll see you at 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.